grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Just 2 days ago, we celebrated Christmas. And so the 12 days of Christmas has now begun. Within some of these 12 days of Christmas, the church has chosen or seen it fit to observe certain feasts and festivals. For example, yesterday on December 26th, it's known as the Feast of Saint Stephen. He is the first martyr upon Christ's ascension, for he had faithfully proclaimed the works and the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then he was stoned to death, and that is recorded in Acts chapter 6 and 7. Today, on the third day of Christmas, December 27th, Saint John, it is known as Saint John, the Apostle and Evangelist. He, as I mentioned on Christmas Day, likely did not die a martyr's death unlike the rest of the apostles. But instead, when he was an elderly man, he was exiled to the island of Patmos, a place for criminals, because he had faithfully preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tomorrow, the church observes the Holy Innocents on the fourth day of Christmas, on December 28th. This is a commemoration, a remembering of those baby boys in the vicinity of Bethlehem who were killed by King Herod as Herod tried to eliminate the newborn king. Remembering those who died while confessing the faith is certainly a huge shift from the joy of Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Yet they serve to remind us of a truth that we do not want to face. And that is, being a Christian in this fallen, hostile world is dangerous. While Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and he has come to bring peace, he does not establish for us a peace or a truce, if you will, with the world, but instead he brings to us peace with God. Jesus even says he did not come to bring peace, but a sword, and talks about the division that families will even face within their own households over the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And also, when we have peace with God, when heaven is opened to us, Satan is not going to be happy or pleased with you, and he is going to try as much as he may to make you miserable in this life. Not only that, but the earth, the world around us, will not be pleased with you being reconciled to God your Father. Jesus says also that a servant is not above his master. And he says that if he suffered, so will his disciples. In fact, he teaches that those who want to follow him must take up their cross and follow him. One of the first disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ is the Apostle John, whom we are remembering today. He, along with his brother James, were fishing partners with Peter. You may recall the time, it comes up in the church here as we read Luke chapter 5, when Jesus tells Peter, after he had preached from Peter's boat, to go out and let down his nets for a catch. And Peter says, well, we fished all night, we didn't catch a thing, but at your word, I will do it. He goes out, he lets down his net for a catch, and his nets are full of fish. His boat begins to sink. He calls for his partners to join him. They bring in all this fish. Well, Peter's partners are James and John. And then Jesus says to these men to become fishers of men, to follow Jesus. And they become the closest apostles to our Lord, the inner ring apostles, if you will. and they are some of our Lord's earliest disciples. On Christmas Day, we heard the first verses of St. John's Gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Word from the beginning, and he became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Today, on the feast of St. John, Apostle and Evangelist, we heard the first verses of John's revelation of Jesus Christ. We also heard the first verses of his first epistle, and we heard the final verses of John's gospel. Throughout the church year, we hear additional passages from John's writings, especially in the Gospel of John. In all, John wrote one gospel, three epistles, and that book of Revelation. This John is not to be confused with John the Baptist, for John the Baptist died a martyr's death. He was a forerunner to the Lord. Instead, this John is one of the 12 apostles. John and James are brothers. They are the sons of Zebedee. Jesus calls them the sons of thunder. And John is called an evangelist, in addition to being an apostle, because he is one of the four men who write the Gospels. John never names himself in his gospel, but as you heard in verse 20 of our reading today, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's possible that the church chose this day in the Christmas season to observe this disciple, this apostle, this evangelist, because of John's clear writings on the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those clear words that we heard in our gospel on Christmas Day. John, in his writings, he emphasizes our Lord's divinity and also the humanity of Jesus, that God became man, that Jesus bore our sins in his body. He died, he rose from the dead, he lives, and he now reigns at the right hand of the Father. Yet, despite the fact that he speaks of these things, he does not report the ascension of Jesus in his gospel. He ends his gospel with what you heard in our gospel reading today, and this takes place prior to the ascension. Today's gospel begins with Peter seeing John. Peter seeing John. Now, just before this, Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And each time Peter replies, but he doesn't use the same word for love. And then Jesus tells Peter to feed his lambs. Peter becomes a little irritated because Jesus asks Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And then Peter looks up, he sees John approaching. And so Peter takes the attention off of himself, places it on John, and asks Jesus, "Now what about John?" Jesus replies in an unexpected manner. He says, "If it is my will that he remains until I come, what is that to you? Peter, you follow me." Jesus' words here, despite the fact that they were misunderstood, as John reports, are rather clear. Jesus begins with an if. "If I should let John live until I return, how does that concern you, Peter?" It's basically what Jesus is saying. Jesus was not declaring that John is going to live until the time that Jesus returns for final judgment. Some were asserting that John is not going to die, but he will live until Jesus returns on judgment day, because Jesus said, "If it's my will that he remains until I come." The point that Jesus is making to Peter is this: don't concern yourself, Peter, with others at this point. I'm telling you, Peter, to follow me. Your salvation is not found in others following me, but you, Peter, follow me. However, some, of course, did not understand these words and began saying that John will not die until Jesus returns. Of course, they were proven to be wrong. In addition to John writing against that notion, around the year of our Lord 100, John breathed his last. He was received by the angels into heaven. He probably died at the age of being in his mid-90s. John's salvation is not something that John earned, and John knew it. John's salvation was found because John's salvation was also not found because He is the disciple whom Jesus loved, because you too are disciples whom Jesus loves. God loves everyone. Instead, John's salvation was found in Jesus Christ, for Jesus came and was born for John and for all others, lived for him, died for him, rose from the grave for him, forgave him of his sin, called him to be an apostle and disciple, and blessed him with the Christian faith. It is only through grace, or by grace through faith, that John was saved from his many sins. John's objective, serving as both an apostle and evangelist, was to point sinners to Jesus. He made it clear of this reality that we are sinners when he wrote, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." John speaks of the seriousness of our sin, pointing out that it is darkness, that sin is outside the fellowship of Jesus Christ, and that sin is contrary to the truth. John points us to Jesus in that his entire gospel is centered on the life and the works of Jesus and his teachings. The book of Revelation begins as the revelation of Jesus Christ. And if you noticed, as we heard our epistle reading, John is focused on Jesus, mentioning him many times, that Jesus was from the beginning. He is the incarnate one whom John saw with his eyes and touched with his hands, that Christ is eternal life, and that he is the light. John writes that the works of our Lord Jesus are so vast that John concludes his gospel by saying, "Now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose the entire world could not contain all the books that could be written." That really is an amazing statement. Some may already feel that the Bible is too long of a book. Many do have a hard time reading it from cover to cover because of its length. Yet the Bible speaks of Jesus. Jesus says, "You search the scriptures. In them, they testify of me." A Bible itself does not take up very much space. Even the large print ones really aren't all that big. But John asserts that the world cannot contain all the books that could be written should it be possible for people to record everything that Jesus has done. John was concerned about maintaining the truth. Already in his time, there were people who were walking away from the truth, who were replacing truth with lies. Already in his time, there were false teachers who were trying to pull people away from the truth of Jesus Christ. Some were outright liars who were not with them even from the beginning. Some clearly proclaimed their false teaching. But others took truths and they spun the truth subtly, or they mixed truth with very subtle lies. There was a movement that later became known as Gnosticism that was beginning to rear its ugly head while John was still living. They had false beliefs concerning our Lord's humanity and his divinity. Some claimed to have inner knowledge of their relationship with God. But John, however, draws us away from what we may dream up in our minds, and he directs us to the truth of God's word. He directs us to Jesus. That's why he writes in our gospel today, This is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Nowadays, truth has certainly fallen on hard times. We are told to keep our minds so open that we must accept any other person's understanding of truth. What is not tolerated in our day are claims to have absolute truth. That is, making exclusive claims or stating that only one way is the truth. So what is not tolerated is the words of Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." What this means is the exclusive claims made by Jesus and recorded by John concerning our salvation in Christ alone is simply viewed as unacceptable in today's society. Our world would have you believe that there are many ways to salvation, that it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. Our world would have you believe that repentance is no longer necessary and that Jesus and his forgiveness are just one of many ways to get into heaven. I listened to Queen Elizabeth's Christmas address, and she gave a good testimony of her faith in Jesus Christ. However, she also spoke of other religions in such a way that a person's faith expression is just as valid as the next person's. She even named other religions as if they're all equally fine. But that cannot be, because there is only one sinless Son of God. As John confesses, it is through faith in Jesus alone that we can now have access to God the Father. For Jesus alone is our advocate who appeased the wrath of God on behalf of us sinners. Jesus alone shed his innocent blood on the cross to take away the world's sin. Jesus alone credits us with his very righteousness so that we can be declared acceptable before God. Therefore, it is only through faith in Jesus that we sinners can be reconciled to God and receive the gift of eternal salvation. It really is amazing how sinful and prideful man does not want to hear this. They want to hold on to their own sins, their pet vices, so badly that they do not want to listen to the truth of God's word. They insist that they're fine, but they do not realize that in doing so, they are forfeiting the love of Christ and his forgiveness. They know that God is merciful, and so they twist his mercy and grace into thinking that God is not truthful when he teaches that sinners are to turn from their sin in repentance. My little children, as John loves to address Christians, do not follow your hearts, but follow Jesus. Do not listen to the preaching of the world, which would tear you away from Jesus by saying that you're good enough already so that you don't need to listen to the voice of your good shepherd. Do not listen to the devil's lies, who would have you believe that you are too evil or too wicked to be a Christian. Satan wants you to think that you can somehow make it through life without Christ. The devil is continually searching for the most subtle ways to take your eyes off of Jesus and place them on anything but him. We must resist these temptations and focus on the truth of God's word, truth which John emphasized. And the glorious truth is this: if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And as he writes a few verses later, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. John's goal was singular, and that is for you to fix your eyes on Jesus, to dwell on him who became man, bore your sins in his body, canceled out your debt through the shedding of his blood, rose from the grave, and now lives and reigns. May you always fix your heart on Jesus, that word made flesh, who was born in Bethlehem to save you. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.